The Mike Missinelli Show. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Go, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. He carry counts. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slammed up.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Happy, what is today, Wednesday, across the Delaware Valley. You know what's funny? For a moment, like, when you forget what day it is, and I'm thinking, oh, wait, I watch football games, got to be Tuesday. But it was Tuesday night football. Can I start off with, like, a fun note before we get into the minutiae that is the Philadelphia sports landscape? And all the just kind of traipsing through the mud and the muck.
Oh, things are great, ain't?
Right. Dude, that was a great football game last night. I don't know why I enjoyed it. I guess it wasn't that great, but it was football. It was good quality game. So here's what I want. Is this too much to ask? I want a game every night of the week. Can't they even manipulate the schedule to have games every night? Maybe Wednesday's too tough, but can you manipulate the schedule to have games Friday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday? Can we make that happen? And if there's no college football, then Saturday. I love it. Tuesday night football? I'm in. It was like, wow, this is Tuesday. And, you know, it's going to be tough because we got no Thursday nighter this week. But I love Tuesday night football. And how about my man T-Mac doing the national broadcast? It was great, T-Mac. That was cool. That was fun having T-Mac doing it. I got to tell you, I love it. Can we do that? Are you in? Good morning, Tunis.
Hey, what's going on?
I'm sorry I'm bringing you too early, but I don't feel like giving you a sermon yet. I'll save the sermon for a minute. I wanted to just talk about Tuesday Night Football. Do you like Tuesday Night Football?
I enjoyed it. I mean, I watched the majority of that game until it became a blowout. Then I was kind of like, all right, let me just watch some more baseball. But I was in on it. I mean, 7 o'clock, I was there on the couch ready to watch it.
I like the
7-0, whatever, like whatever it was. 7-0-7.
Usually I'm a niner, you know, 8:39. I like better, but I dig the 7 o'clock.
Yeah, it's still taking you into the 10 o'clocks of the night, right? And you still had baseball to couple with that. Yeah, I liked it. I had no problem with it. Schedule makers will probably hate you for saying you want a game every single night of the week. They're probably like, no, we can't do that.
Well, why not? You can't manipulate the schedule? See, if I'm commissioner, I'm going to have a game every night but Wednesday. Wednesday seems the most difficult.
Okay.
Because you can have the... Now, you got to manipulate the Tuesday game and have them play the following Monday, right? See, Wednesday's impossible. But I would manipulate it. I would have the two. If I was king of the world now, I'm digging this whole kind of new sports world in a lot of ways. I like the Tuesday night. I would do double buys and have... manipulate the schedule where I have, you know, I play the games Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Are you down? Would you sign off on that?
I would sign off
on the double bye.
I'm just trying to think on how you could do it, because if you played on a Sunday,
you got to manipulate the schedule. Listen, it's hard. It's not easy.
Right.
Because you have travel and the whole thing.
Well, we already know the teams can play Sunday and then Thursday, right? We already see that.
Exactly.
So Sunday, Thursday, you're off that week, and then you could maybe play
between
the following Friday.
Right, between the byes and having games on Fridays and Mondays and Tuesdays, I think you could make it work.
Yeah, I liked it. I think I'd still rather do a full-on Sunday, though.
Yeah, but here's the thing about the Sunday. The Sunday is great, but here's the problem with Sunday. Is that if you're the NFL, you're basically giving away. If you have 10 games on a Sunday, you can say you watch all the games, but it's impossible to actually sit and watch all the games.
Yeah, you're not watching every game when you just have red zone on. No, you're watching the team that's in the red zone or right, the team exactly, that's driving.
Exactly. That's not watching football. I like watching the other games.
Yeah, I do too. Like, I really enjoyed being able to watch, you know, Titans-Bills. And that's why I love Sunday night when the Eagles play the 1 o'clock game or the 4 o'clock game, because then I can just watch two teams that I'm probably not normally paying attention to. That's why I love Monday Night Football. That's why I love watching Thursday Night Football, because I get to just single in on these two teams, this one matchup, because I might see these teams down the road when the Eagles face them.
Right. I mean, but we're football fans.
Yes.
I'm just saying, having a game on is great. It's comforting.
Right.
I find football comforting. If it's on TV, I'm watching it. It's on, and there's degrees of me paying attention to it. But, you know, some days I just feel like nestling in. You know, I had the kids around, and I'm watching a game. I was enjoying it. Like, it's comforting to have football on.
Right. The big question is, and Ant, you could tell me if how you think it would do, how would it rate on a Tuesday?
I don't know. Like,
because, Sunday, you know, we always say the top 10 shows every single year are football. But it's only Sunday night football. So would you be able to get a bump from a Tuesday night football game if you're the NFL?
Here's the thing, right? I can't tell you, if you ask me right now to name 10 television shows. 10 television shows.
Yeah, not on Netflix or HBO's.
Network TV shows. I would struggle. I would say, I always see The Masked Singer or whatever it is.
Dude, I saw a commercial for The Amazing Race yesterday watching the football game. I was like, this show's still going on?
I don't know. Is 2.5 Men still on?
No.
No, The Big Bang Theory.
R.I.P. The Maid passed away yesterday.
Right, that's why I saw that. I saw it in a blurb. No, what's the other one? The Big Bang Theory.
I don't think that's done, yeah.
Right. Which I never watched anyway.
No, I'm out.
That's my point is I don't watch anything. Like, literally don't watch anything on network TV. Nothing. I'm trying to think of a show that I would watch. Every show I watch, and I watch about maybe half dozen at a time, is on Netflix, HBO, Showtime.
Right.
That's it. I don't watch any, maybe the FX or whatever. What was The Americans on? That was on FX.
Yes, it was.
Right, so that's it. But I don't watch any network TV. I don't watch sitcoms. I couldn't tell you. I don't like game shows. I hate game shows. I got no interest in
I like the Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, I'm out. I don't like any
game Family shows. Feud, man.
I like the trivia questions.
Yeah.
Right? But that's because of. No, I like the Jeopardy. But my mother-in-law watches the Wheel of Fortune and the Jeopardy, like all the older folks.
Yeah.
But I can't tell you. So why wouldn't football? Why wouldn't you want football?
That's a good question.
What, are you going to bump what? What garbage show are you bumping?
Well, what's the other one? It's not The Masked Singer. It's also the, are they lip-syncing or not? They've been showing those commercials during the Fox games.
I know.
What is? Are they singing or not or something
and
like
that? And the other one. What's the other one? No, what's the one in Philly, though? That's actually a good show. The kid from Philly, from Pennsylvania. He's like from the Northeast. It's like done in the 70s. I don't watch. Ruben Amaro's on it.
Really?
You know what I'm talking about.
No.
It's awesome.
Philly's broadcast?
Oh, it's awesome. No, seriously, it's a great show.
The Goldbergs.
Yeah.
Thanks to Pat Egan.
Yes, thanks, Pat. Is that still on, the Goldbergs? Like, I caught that a few times. I loved it because of all the local references.
Right.
So I like that. But I don't know what else is on. Why wouldn't football work? What, you're asking about ratings?
No, I'm asking from a decision maker in the NFL. I wonder, is Tuesday night football up there? Obviously, it won't be as high as Sunday night football because Sunday night people are home, they're not working. But will Tuesday night rival everything else?
Yeah, to me,
are there people that go,
rock it, baby.
I'm footballed out after Sunday. I don't want to watch Tuesday.
Yeah.
I know that you will never be, but I think there are people that go, hey, you know, Sunday's enough for
what's,
me.
What's enough? What is there to...
I don't know.
Last night, Titans, Bills.
Yeah, but how many Eagles-only fans do you know?
Go find out what was on TV last night, and you give me something better. That's your exercise. Give me something better.
Braves Dodgers was fascinating.
Than Titans Bills. That's sports. That doesn't count. The Titans Bills. The Braves are going to win again. All right. That leads us into our main topic. And the main topic today is roster construction, right? Is the building of the four teams and the personnel decisions by each of the four teams. And it started last night because my cousin and I were going back and forth over the Braves-Dodgers. So you saw who started for the Braves, Ian Anderson. Ian Anderson went in the Moniak draft. Right? And then we got into this conversation about how the Braves have been good for 30 years. Right? Or maybe longer. I don't know. 30 years, I remember. 30 years to break. You know why? Because they know how to draft. They know how to develop talent. And I think about the Phillies and how wretched they've become. And it's all because they can't draft. They can't figure out how to build a farm system. How to mine talent out of Latin America. Like, I got excited because they threw a lot of money. You know, there is an allotment you could spend in Latin America, right? And I got excited because they finally spent money there, and they signed a kid, Jalen Ortiz, who was 16. And I remember thinking, all right. And he was a power hitter, and he was a kid, hit the ball like a mile. Now, who knows? He was 16 when they signed him. Who knows? A kid, it could have been 30, right? Like, you don't know some of the ages down there. So, I'm excited. Well, wow, maybe we get a kid, one of these Latin stars, stud kids. Like, and it turns out he's the one Latin player who stinks. It's amazing, right? That was Acuna. It was like the same group of kids, right? The Braves get Acuna, and there were a couple other ones. I think.
Oh, Vlad Jr. was in that.
Vlad Jr., yep. Thank you. Right, you had a couple of kids that were studs, right? And the Phillies get the one kid who can't play. It's amazing. The one kid who stinks, the Phillies get, and they give all the money. We go through the Eagles, and when you watch the league, it's to the point where, like, I get great enjoyment out of watching the league.
Yes.
However, invariably, there'll be something by watching two other teams play that pisses me off about the Eagles. And we're going to go through all the drafts and all the guys that they should have. For once, we're going to go through each of these four teams. And three of them are embarrassing. And the one, thank God for the Flyers. All right?
TGFF,
thank God for Flyers, because they're the only ones who did it right with talent.
They have talent on the team currently and guys upcoming.
And they got young talent.
Yep.
It's amazing. But the three other teams were horrible. Like, we'll go back to that Zaire, right?
Yep.
Listen, I love Brett a lot, but that draft where you...
Cal Bridges could have been a nice little player on this team.
I mean, dude, when they take Bridges, we go, yeah, all right.
That's a good kid, pick. Possible 3-and-D, right. Length. Exactly. That's what the Sixers have.
Exactly.
Nice.
Right? Like, I'm not saying he's going to be, you know, all world, but I loved him, right? We were all excited. And they trade him. And you get a kid who can't shoot. I mean, why? It's unbelievable. It really is. All those years. Listen. I'm a hanky man, but all those years, he couldn't find one foreign player. His passport was dotted, right? I mean, you know, more stamps on his passport than in the Philadelphia postal, go to a post office in Philadelphia. right? He was going everywhere. I remember talking to Sam one day and he was saying he got back from some Eastern European country and there was issues and he's traipsing through with snow and there were people living in tents, refugees living in tents, and he was, you know, catching a game. And I'm thinking to myself, dude, you traipse all over Europe and you can't find a player? I mean, think about his tenure. Like I think Sam is smart, right? But it goes back to these teams. It's amazing how bad they've been. Really, like you can't work. You can't be this bad. How is John Middleton? It's laughable that John Middleton is keeping the same regime.
Yep. He just shuffled around the pieces, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean. You know, Klentak gets, you know, moved around, reassigned in quotation marks, and Ned Rice is GM's the guy there.
And Andy McPhail's still here.
I mean, they have failed. Listen, not personal, or whatever it is. They just are bad. They haven't got any talent. They've missed on talent. And so when Jim Schwartz says yesterday that, oh, no, you're wrong. We address linebacker. It makes you want to scream the frustration of these guys. They lying to you, to your face, like the balls on him to lie to the fan base. I'm serious. Like all Schwartz has to do is say, yeah, well, we've chosen to spend our resources elsewhere. We value the position because we value all positions, but we value the other positions more. Whatever. You know how to answer a question like that. You don't lie. No, I would disagree. You would? Well, now you're a liar. You're a flat-out liar. And then when you get called on it, he passes the buck. Nah. That's a Howie Doug thing. Talk to those guys. And we're sitting here, and we're held hostage. Held hostage by the inept, by guys who are talent blind. They can't see talent. They can't. They can't see talent. The Phillies have no concept of talent. To have a bullpen where nobody can break a pane of glass.
You watched the Rays or the Braves yesterday?
I mean,
it's 96 plus each arm.
I mean, this isn't about, like, I want to get John Middleton and talk to him and say, hey, John, let's go through each of your players and let's go through your farm system. What? Now answer me. Now answer why we're all frustrated. No, seriously, tell me. If you can give me one reason why Klentak, Ned Rice, McPhail, at all should stay. I mean, oh, open ears. I don't want to kick people into the dumpster, right? But day after day, bad pick after bad pick, it starts to wear on you. And you can't be Mr. Sunshine every day because you're doing the fans a disservice. You are. You're doing the fans a disservice. And I'm sorry, the Super Bowl is expired. You don't have that anymore. He won a Super Bowl. I don't care. I don't care. Quite frankly, today, I don't care anymore. I love it. I cherish it. But no longer is that an excuse. And I want that to be a poll today. I want, is the Super Bowl excuse expired? Or do you still go, well, they won a Super Bowl. So, and it's for the whole lot of them. The whole crew over there. And I like them. I do. But I'm sorry. That's not an excuse anymore. You got to get better talent in here. You have to. The way these rosters are, it's shameful. All right. You get the theme of today. Ineptitude. 610-632-0975. That's how you join us. Let's talk about Parks, Casino, Street Road, Bensalem, and the sports book. Well, if you can't get to Street Road, Bensalem for the fabulous Parks Casino, don't fret. Download the app. Oh, yes. Go to parkscasino.com/PA. Download the app. Use code Fanatic. In fact, you get a risk-free bet of $500. So let's take our daily look at the line. The daily look at the line says this. It's still 7.5 in favor of Baltimore over the Birds. However, it's shifting. Yesterday it was -10. Now Baltimore is -113. So it's shifting in that direction. Okay. Well, we'll go through all the lines for you, give some picks. Here's an interesting one. The Arizona Cardinals next Monday night are 2.5 over the Cowboys. With that defense, load up on Arizona, baby. Anyway, you can see all the games, all the lines right there on your phone. It's that simple. Go to parkscasino.com/PA. Use the promo code Fanatic. Get a risk-free bet up to $500. You got to be in Pennsylvania. You got to be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 11 o'clock across the Delaware Valley. So I got to share with you a funny story. Listen, everybody sit tight. Jeff and Tasty Cake and CD Dan and Maddie and Mark and then Marky too. Just sit, hang tight. And we'll get to you in a moment. But yesterday, Schwartz spoke, right? So when Jim Schwartz speaks, and he riled up all the Eagles fans. I wanted to do Travis Fulgham Tuesday, right? And so we had booked his college coach at Old Dominion, Bobby Wilder. And so he's gracious enough. But after all the vitriol over Schwartz, I was like, I can't get Bobby on today. I got to move him. So he was kind enough to come on today. But he tweeted, I'm not getting in the way of angry Eagle fans. So here he is today to talk some Travis, Coach Bobby Wilder, formerly of Old Dominion. What do you say, Coach? How are you, Bob?
Oh, I'm fired up to be with you, Anthony. I got to tell you, I recruited most of my career, South Jersey and Philly.
You did?
Love listening to the show. And I love me some Eagles fans. And there was no way I wanted to be associated with Jim Schwartz yesterday. No way. Thank you for moving me to the day.
So you did a lot of recruiting in our area. That's so cool. So you got to hang out and you kind of know the area a little bit. See something.
Oh yeah, I mean, I love Broad Street. I'm an Eagles fan. You know, I grew up in New England, so I grew up with the Patriots.
Sure.
And they've been pretty good lately, but especially since Lovato's been with the team and Fulgham. How about this, Anthony? I mean, you talk about two, because I know Philly and I know Eagles fans, the blue-collar people. You talk about two blue-collar kids that have incredible stories. You got Fulgham, who grew up playing soccer in Jordan and Egypt and South Africa and India.
Wow.
And then you got Rick Lovato, who grew up making calzones at Joyce's Sub and Pizza in Lincroft, New Jersey. How about the?
That's unbelievable. It's fantastic. Tell me the story of Travis. I'm first of all, Coach, my man can play. My man's legit.
He's a baller.
Yeah.
How about this kid? Anthony, the crazy thing, he's only played football for 9 years in his entire life. 2 years of high school, and 5 years at Old Dominion, now 2 years in the NFL. Most people that are in the NFL have played football since Pop Warner, so
right.
You're talking 15, 16 years. He's growing exponentially. I mean, this guy is still learning how to play football because he's only played for 9 years. But the backstory on this is a lot of credit's got to go to Matt Griffiths, his high school coach at Broad Run High School in Alexandria, Virginia. He got to know Fulgham, sees him in the hallway. He's like, why is this kid only playing soccer and basketball? Gets him to come out for the team his junior year. Kid has some pretty good years his junior, senior year. We could see the talent on the video, Anthony. He was just so raw. You could just tell he was just learning how to play the game, but he had the athleticism, hand-eye coordination, the speed, the agility from playing soccer and basketball. So he comes down in March of 2014 with his mom and dad, great people, background in the military. So I got a real good sense of the discipline, the structure in the family, the work ethic. And my biggest fear at the time is I didn't have a scholarship left. This was after signing day in February that he was going to go play basketball because he was being recruited by some people. So I convinced them and my staff did, come as a preferred walk-on. I'll guarantee you within a year I'll put you on scholarship. Well, Anthony, he's a week into camp in August, and he is, the kids are saying this, that he's mossing everybody. He's destroying people in one-on-ones, goal line, red zone work. He's on scout team destroying people. Unfortunately, we were able to redshirt him that year. We had a quarterback, Taylor Heinicke, who played with the Vikings and Panthers, and we had a wideout, Zach Pascal, who's doing good things with the Colts. Another Jaguars. So we had a lot of talent in front of him, so we redshirted him. And then his story, Anthony, when you look at his numbers, he really didn't catch fire until his senior year. And I can tell you the exact day that it happened, when he got on everybody's radar, was September 22nd, 2018, we're playing 10th-ranked Virginia Tech. He had maybe six catches in the first three games, and then we switched quarterbacks, and we threw for 500 yards that day, upset Virginia Tech.
Wow.
He had nine catches for 188 yards and a touchdown, a similar game to what he just did to the Steelers, and that's when the scouts went, wow, this kid can play, because it was Virginia Tech, it was Bud Foster, and it was Caleb Farley, who was playing corner, who he opted out this year. He's going to be a draft choice. So that was the game that really put Fulgham on the map. And then he went off the rest of the year, Anthony. He ended up with 63 catches, 1,083 yards, nine touchdowns, and really did it in nine games. And in my opinion, for those nine games, he was one of the best wide receivers in America.
Wow. And I remember we're talking to Bobby Wilder, who was Travis Fulgham's coach at college at Old Dominion. And Bob, I remember you guys putting up a lot of points. You guys had a great offense. I remember that Va Tech game too. America's, such a monumental upset.
Anthony, we scored some points, man. The reason I'm talking to you right now and not coaching is we couldn't stop anybody.
but let me ask you a question.
You got to vote for head coach, right?
But wait a second. With all of that, the way the game is today, with offense. Did you just want to take a break, or you got to be on somebody's staff?
Yeah, I'll be back in the game in a minute here. I've been doing it for 32 years.
I love it.
Age group, I've had opportunities to coach in the NFL. I got a lot of friends in the NFL, but I really enjoy this 18 to 22-year-old age group. They keep me young. And the other thing, Anthony, is just the two guys I'm talking to you about. I got a lot of kids like this.
That's Travis awesome.
Fulgham. He's playing soccer overseas, and Rick Lovato's, making subs, and, all of a sudden he's in the NFL. This is stuff just fires me up, and I love the fact that I've got two kids on the Eagles.
That's fantastic. So when you see Fulgham, right, when I guess he was an Army brat, right, so he was around, so he grew up overseas, the whole thing. What's his greatest attribute, you think, just as a wide receiver? Because the two things that stood out to me is that he's a really precise route runner, and I love the fact he's a hands catcher, not a body catcher.
Right. Yeah, first of all, the character, the fact, you look at Fulgham, and this kid has turned every minor setback into a major comeback, from how he grew up, from being a walk-on and earning a scholarship, from being a six-round draft choice, cut three times in a year, and all the times that I would talk or text with him, and he's really good friends with my oldest son, Derek. They played together at Old Dominion. So you know how young people are now, and at this day and age, they get on Xbox, and that's their social time.
That's cool, yeah.
And Travis has just never changed. He's the same person all the time. I mean, all these guys now, they're busting his chops. My son's busting his chops like, okay, now you're friends with Chad Johnson, so, you know, I'm out. You're going to cut me loose. No, shut up. Fulgham's the same guy all the time. And that's why I think Eagles fans will love him. He's a blue-collar. Yeah. And all he's known is to work his tail off for everything in life. Now, the football attributes, you talk about catching the ball with the hands, but how big he is to the ball in man coverage, which, you know, Anthony, that's the NFL. The NFL's man coverage. You can't get off the ball. If you can't high point a ball, if you can't back shoulder a ball, you got to be big on the ball. And that's his number one attribute. He's so athletic and he's big to the football in man coverage. And as a quarterback, I'm a former quarterback. You love those guys because when you're about to get drilled in the chops, you want to throw it to a guy who's big to the ball in man coverage.
Yeah. It's funny because you mentioned his basketball background, and I love particularly my receivers and tight ends who play basketball, who really understand, you know, how to use their body, how to shield the defender. And you could see the way he explodes on the floor. Like, it's great that the way you put it, where he gets big around the ball.
That's for the touchdown against the 49ers. I could see it on TV. He talked about it after. He lost the ball initially, whether it was the lights or not. But when you play basketball, you got to track balls that are coming over your shoulder. Yep. You got to track up the rim and how they bounce. So he stayed with the ball throughout that catch. And even when he was bobbling it going to the ground, he had the wherewithal to pin it against his body, keep his left foot in bounds, and then hurdle his body sideways so he broke the plane over the cone. That goes back to those basketball skills and the hand-eye coordination.
Totally. We're talking to Coach Bobby Wilder, Travis Fulgham's coach at Old Dominion. Hey, while we're talking, what's your, just afar, you're just, what do your eyes tell you about Wentz, since you're watching a lot of Eagles now?
I love Wentz. I'm a big Carson Wentz fan. Number one, because of his character. I think he wants to win. He'll do anything to win. I wish he wouldn't get hit as much as he does, but they've got to. And this is me just being an Eagles fan and a former coach. They got to continue to give him some guys to work with. You know, give him some targets to throw to. And that 29 points against the Steelers, that's a good Steelers football team. So it just goes to show you with Fulgham having that game, if they can get the production out of the wideouts, and I thought the other guys played well, if they can get that kind of production, that's who the Eagles will be on offense. Because what he can do with the ball, what he can do out of the pocket, Anthony, that's going to help in the run game. It's going to make the offensive line better. And I think the Eagles, personally, I think they're better on defense than they played Saturday. But I'm a huge Carson Wentz fan. I think this guy is a superstar, and he just needs to continue to have those pieces around him.
Yeah. Hey, are you – so what do you do? I always love talking to coaches who've been around a long time and they take a break. So did you ever run into Spags during it? Because
he's from up there. We cut our teeth together back coaching at Maine. I mean, Spags.
That's why I asked you that, because I knew you were at Maine and he's one of my dear friends. So, you know, when he took off.
No money, and I had no money. I'm making $21,000.
Yeah.
He's at my all the time with me and my wife. He's in my refrigerator all the time. I'm like, Spags, what are you doing, man? Go to your apartment. Get out of my fridge and leave my damn beer alone. I'm so happy for him, Anthony. I know. Touch. He's got one of my kids out there, Tim Ward, a defensive end. Kansas City. And I talked to Spags after the Super Bowl. I mean, obviously, Andy Reid gets all the credit, and I love Andy Reid. He's awesome. But Reid didn't win without Spags the year before. He needed Spags, and Spags was the difference in those guys. And obviously Patrick Mahomes is a supernatural talent, but Spags was the difference for that Chiefs team last year.
I'll tell you a great story. So I'm over the house now. He's climbing the walls, right? Because, you know, like he can't he can't be out of work. And he was out of work.
He's a ball coach.
Yeah, like he was driving him nuts. Like he's like, what do you want to do? Like he had nothing to do. So I was his only friend here. So he would call. So I was over the house and he gets the text from Andy. Hey, what are you doing? And it was like, wow, look at that. It was you knew from that it was a perfect match because no doubt. Put those two together. But that's so cool. There's a cadre of you guys, particularly being on the recruiting trail, that would work the Northeast and come through the area. Who are some of the kids that you recruited out of Philly, South Jersey?
Well, I got to tell you this one quick, Andy, talk about Spags. So when Andy first got the job, what year was that when Andy Reid first got to Philly?
99.
Okay, 99. Yeah, so I'm recruiting in South Jersey. I'm down in South Jersey recruiting, and Spags calls me and says, hey, I'm on my way to Philly. He says, don't say anything. Andy Reid just got the job, and he got hired as it was like one of those, you know, assistant to the assistant jobs when he first broke into the NFL. So I'm with Spags. You know, we're at the hotel bar getting something to eat because he just flew into town the night Andy got announced. So, I mean, this goes back to time when they first started. But a lot of those players, we had a ton of players in Maine from South Jersey when I was assistant. At Old Dominion, we had a kid from Kingsway. He's the all-time leading rusher in Old Dominion history named Ray Lowry.
Wow.
Was Kingsway who he had a cup of coffee That's with the cool. Bengals.
Yeah.
He looked like he was going to play in the XFL and that thing tanked. So, but man, I've had so many players from that area, whether it was at Maine or South Jersey that came through. I love the kids because they're like me in my background. I'm a blue-collar guy, and those kids, Philly, South Jersey, there's a lot of blue-collar kids.
That's awesome. I got to tell you, Bob, you're great, man. It's so good talking to you. I keep us abreast, man. Well, I'm curious, like, as this thing goes on with Travis, I got to get you back and then let us know where you wind up, because you're a good guy, man. Really, I love talking to you.
Yeah, Travis texted me last night, invited me up to a game. He's like, I hope you can come up at some point and see me play. So I may be calling you since Spags is out of your place to see if I can get in.
You got it, buddy.
Quality Anthony time. I'd love to come see my two kids play. It's just obviously with the virus, it hasn't been able. That was my plan this fall. If I didn't get back in it, I was just going to travel and watch my kids play. I got, I got Pasco with the Colts. I got Ward with the Chiefs. I got Rashad Coward with the Bears. So I just, getting a chance to, and I got O'Shane Zimenez with the New York Giants.
Yeah.
It's just fun to see these kids and living their dream in the NFL.
That's awesome. Brother, God bless you, man. Listen, be safe during this thing, all right? And I look forward to meeting you.
I appreciate it. And tell my fellow Eagles fans, deep breath right now. Take deep breaths. The Giants are up this weekend. I mean, let's deep breath.
After Baltimore. We got Harbs in Baltimore first.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, no good on that one.
Life's going to be okay.
Thanks, Bobby. Take it easy, buddy. Here he is. What a pleasure, man. My pleasure. Bobby Wilder, the Travis Fulgham's head coach, former head coach at Old Dominion.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
What up?
All right, 11:30 across the Delaware Valley. 11 o'clock hour is brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. Joel's coming up, so we'll... Kibitz with Jaws coming up. And I don't want to get back to all of our calls because I know, you know, there's so much when we talk about the state of these teams. And you guys are dead on. It's amazing that we have these conversations, right? All day long, I'll take calls and we have these conversations. I'm not, you should know me by now. I don't blow smoke. I don't need to blow smoke up you guys. I really don't. You guys know what you're talking about. Like, we have these conversations. And there's some sharp people. Like, it is true, the Phillies, one of the issues is player development. And you wonder about the same thing with the Eagles. Now, to start the show, we had that whole Rasul Douglas conversation with safety. And Dwayne's brought that up. And I thought the same thing. And you wonder kind of what's going on. All right. Without further ado, let's go to the Pope of football in Philadelphia. The great number 7. I love him. The Pope. Let's say hello to Jaws on the Comcast Business Hotline. Jaws!
Anthony, great to be with you once again. And I do want to mention one thing. Tonight, my guest at the Downingtown Country Club is going to be the great Dick Vermeil. So there's been a lot of questions about some coaching moves and things going on and, you know, personnel. So Coach Vermeil will be a perfect guy to have to answer a lot of these questions and some of the trials and tribulations of this football team right now.
I love when he comes on with you. First of all, you know, he's so amazing. What a great man. Just an amazing man. So I love what we always learn from the coach.
Always learn something.
You know what's so cool? This is what I love. I love the relationship that you had. And, like, when we think about coach and player, and you wanted to be like you and Coach Vermeil. I think it's beautiful, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's a special relationship. And you know, I'll be honest with you, when we all played for Coach Vermeil, he was tough. He was hard-nosed. He was demanding. But now when you look back on that, there's a reason why. You know, we were successful, not only as football players, but in life, with our families, with business. You know, he was a father figure to many of us. He guided us through a lot of different things, not just football. So, you know, that's what I think when we talk about Coach Vermeil's use in a football context. But he has done so much for so many players and so many in this community that, you know, he has set a high bar for everyone. So, yeah, he was tough, demanding, but he made us all better, and we won because of him.
Yeah. I love that whole thing. I see Andy and Mahomes, and it's amazing. Like, he's always talking to Mahomes. And he's off the field, and he grabs him, and there's this, like, he loves him. Like, you know he loves him. Yeah, I wish Doug was like that more with Carson.
Yeah, I mean, you don't see that, but I know they have a strong relationship. You know, they are different. You don't see much of that working together on the sideline, but they have a strong relationship. That's not even a question to me.
Well, you would know. So, that's, you know, yeah, that's why I asked you. All right, let's get down to business. So, here's the deal. How does Chase Claypool do that? And he would have had 5 touchdowns, 4 receiving, if not for the OPI. And how do you let him get that last score to cement your fate?
I think obviously the last score is the one everyone's focusing on because it clearly was an advantage to the Pittsburgh Steelers to have Claypool, who runs, you know, a 4.440 against a linebacker that runs probably a 4.740. And that separation usually means about 3 or 4 yards in a 40-yard dash. So you can see it was a total mismatch. And football, Anthony, is a game of matchups. It's a game of putting your better players against a weaker player from the other team. And the minute Ben walked out of that huddle, I got to say, I'm watching this as a fan on television. The minute he looked out to his left and put his hand out, I knew it was audibly. I immediately went to the secondary look, and I saw it was a split safety. And that means the middle of the field is open. There's a hole in that defense in the middle of the field. And then he saw, you know, he was going to be in coverage. That is a mismatch. That's a matchup that favors the Pittsburgh Steelers. And here's my only, I have no problem with the cover, with that split safety look. I have no problem with the matchup. But the minute the defense saw that Ben was checking, because Ben saw it and he knew he had that matchup, and actually a mismatch. The defense has to audible out of that defense. Once the once the quarterback reads your mail, you better change your address. And that's what happened on the play. You got to check the text, and it didn't happen.
I love those sayings. Yeah. Yeah, man, change the address. What are you doing?
Change the address. He just called it. He got the perfect way to beat it. You got to be smart enough as a group. And here's while the Ben Schwartz you a little bit. You got a lot of young players in that secondary, and sometimes the communication isn't what it should be. And that's what happens not only from a talent perspective, but from an intellectual perspective of understanding the system. Young players are challenged by that, and it does take time to communicate and work together. So, not that I'm giving a pass on the play, but certainly I'm sure that played into it.
Yeah, except here's the problem, is that McLeod sees it. He's got to do something about it.
Yeah, but he had a guy running right at his face on a bow out, a corner move. So, also, if
he saw a pre-snap.
But wait, he still had they ran mirrored routes on the right and the left. So he had a receiver coming right at Rodney McLeod. He couldn't abandon his coverage responsibility and go help on Gary. I mean, he would look badly through it to the other guy on the other side. So he was playing the coverage properly. Everyone played their coverage, Anthony. It's just a total mismatch in talent,
My point was it's pre-snap and he sees it. Rodney sees it. Somebody's got to call timeout.
Right.
I mean.
And I think Jim's explanation was good. He doesn't call timeouts. Doug calls the timeouts, So I'm not getting. And again, I think it's more communication than they were in a bad defense. They got caught in a bad defense. You got to get out of the defense. Got to get out. Once quarterback wrecks, you got a 17-year veteran, Ben Roethlisberger. It's not some slappy rookie quarterback that is just glad to get the snap count right. Ben scans the field. And at this point in his career, he's one of the best in the business. He wasn't good early in his career. He's terrific now.
Right, but again, it's not exactly like the kid scored, three other times. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's not like the like even for Ben. I mean, yeah. It was like, wow, really? You're going to leave him matched up again? All right, thank you. I mean, it wasn't some stroke of football genius. It was like, all right, well, you're going to cover him with him again? All right, cool.
Well, the thing is, they had not shown that formation all day long, that personnel package. So I think even Ben even Ben may have been a little surprised. And if we would have had a close TV camera on Ben's face as he broke the huddle, he probably had a big smile on his face going, oh, my God, they're doing this. I'm putting myself in his position as a quarterback.
Yeah.
When you got a mismatch, you're coming out of the huddle going, whoa.
How many times did you work Harold? I know you did. I know how many times you went, I got him all day long. How many times you work Quick? You went, oh, look at this. Mike's got this kid all day long.
Yeah, we had our hand signals that we communicated. Ben obviously called an audible. Mike was great at certain routes. Harold played certain routes, and I knew when I got the matchup against the defender that they could beat. You'd immediately go to my hand signal or a quick audible. And you get better as you get older, and it happens quickly and simultaneously with a wide receiver. So Ben knew it the minute he broke the huddle. When he saw a linebacker, and hey, I'm not expecting Gary to cover that. I really don't. It's a mismatch. He's probably going, oh, man. And Roby Coleman on the inside slot was trying to wave him back.
Yeah.
And, that makes sense. But remember this. Nate is in a position right now where Claypool's got that under route available to him as well. So if Gary turns and runs to the middle, you run that short shallow, and it's going to be a first down and a big play.
So what else?
He was really in a bind.
I get you. I get you. So, where are we at, Jaws? Help, Jaws. Where are we at? We're looking at the barrel of Baltimore, which is not pretty.
No. I'm kind of leaning towards looking at the glass half full right now. I look at this awful NFC East and go maybe 5-10-1, 6-9-1 is probably going to win the division. I mean, it's awful. It's god awful. It's division right now. So you say, okay, there were some positive things on that field. That's a good Steeler team, although I think Steeler corners are awful. And that's going to be their Achilles heel move down the road.
Yes.
But I love the way that Fulgham came in and played a phenomenal game. He's played two phenomenal games. And, you know, the stats obviously validate what I'm saying. But when you look at the tape of this kid,
he
looks polished. He looks seasoned. He's a natural route runner. He just looks good. He's a big body guy with a good radius. He reminds me a lot of Mike Wick, and I'll say it this way. You know, the knock on Mike Wick when he came out was, he wasn't a blazer. He wasn't a burner. He was 4-5. But you know what? I never overthrew Mike. Mike caught everything down the field. When the ball was in the air, he was a 4-3 guy. And I see that with Fulham. He's one of those guys, he's got that second burst that he puts on and goes and gets the football. He used his body, and Alshon Jeffrey-like, to shield defenders away from him. And he's got excellent eye-hand coordination. He gets the ball at the right point no matter where the defender is. So, you know, it's almost shocking to me. Maybe the Eagles should just go scour other teams' rosters for receivers because we don't seem to do a good job of drafting wide receivers, at least to the moment. And maybe we find some guys that have some NFL experience. They come in and play like this kid has played.
Jules, I got to do this. I have a listener who loves you. And he's like, listen, the next time Jules calls, can I ask him a question? And he loves you. So I need to do that. All right.
Yeah,
it's Mark from Miami. Let's put Mark up here, Tunis. Get Mark up here. And hello, Mark.
Hey, Anthony. Ron, I'm a big fan. I've been a big fan since you came to the team from Los Angeles. But I have a question for you, and I hope you remember it. Now, many years ago, 40-plus years ago, NFL Films used to do a Sunday morning thing, and they happened to have the Eagles on mic. And it was one of those years, a tough year. You were probably getting sacked every other play, and you were coming off the field. I don't know whether you had just thrown an interception. The fans were booing. And Vermeil, as you were coming off the field, grabbed you by the shoulder pads and pulled you over. And he said, Ron, I'll never jerk you. And you weren't really paying attention. He pulled you again. He said, Ron, I'll never jerk you. Now, I don't know if you remember that, but I remember it, and I think it's relevant today.
Absolutely, Mark, and I remember that very well. That was the turning point in my career because those days in Philadelphia when things weren't going very well and I was getting it. I mean, the fans were letting me have it. And, you know, I'm feeling sorry for myself on the side like a lot of guys do. And Coach Grabby right next to him say, you don't have to worry about me jerking you. The fans have been changing here quarterbacks for 17 years. That's why they've never won. You're my quarterback. So just go out and play up to your ability. And it really was a turning point in my career because I knew I had the coach backing me up, that I could have a bad series, a bad game, and he wasn't going to bail on me. So clearly that moment was a defining moment for me, knowing the coach had my back.
That's awesome. That's a great story. And you got Coach with you tonight. Jaworski Show at 6 o'clock tonight. And you're going to have Coach Vermeil. That's awesome.
That's correct. We'll be live out of the Downtown Country Club, open to the public. Social distancing applies. Mask apply. You know, everything you got to do in today's world. But it's great to have the coach out of Downtown Country Club.
Oh, I love it. I'll be listening, as always. We do every week. It's fantastic. And you got to get some wines, man. His wines are really good.
No, we usually spend about 10 minutes talking about the Vermeil wine.
Yeah.
And he'll tell you the ones that are really good. You know, he just had, the fires out there and caused some problems with some of the ash that fell on his vineyards. And, you know, he lost a lot of his crops. So, he says about, it doesn't affect it right now, but 2 or 3 years, the loss of some of those vineyards will really, really have an impact.
Yeah. I can imagine. Anyway, I love it. I'll be listening and remind him because he said he was going to send me some wine, so he still hasn't done it. So remind him, all right?
Okay.
All right. Thank you. I love you.
All right. You got it, Anthony.
You're the best. See you, brother. All right. Take care. Here's the Jaws.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.